So Psalm 46 is where we find that word, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46. It's so well known, and I'm sure it's been a strength for some of you in the past. But there's some thoughts that I want to just share with you this morning. Psalm 46. God is our refuge. Well, maybe we can read together. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, this is a beloved psalm. I often think, you know, there are certain scriptures that we find at certain times in our lives that kind of just fit where we are. But I think this psalm is pretty much almost a daily reference point. Because no matter what is happening in our world around us and indeed within us, the fact that God is our refuge and strength is so important today. Not that he was, not that he will be, but he is present in our situation today. And because of that, we are safe, we are secure to know that he is God in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. Now, our present Prime Minister has said we're living in very difficult days and only the Conservatives will make us safe. That may be true, but we know we have a God who is our safety, who is our assurance, and who is our protection. So this psalm speaks very much to us at any time in our lives. It's already been mentioned this morning. On Thursday, of course, we will commemorate the 80 years of since the D-Day landings in Normandy. And that was a campaign that was commenced to liberate Europe at that time. And in an article I've read recently, that many of those young people were defined by the events that followed. The events that followed, although strategic in every planning and every way, there must have been times of chaos and uncertainty. There must have been a time when they found stillness very hard to have. And although we will be commemorating, and I do hope you can join us on Thursday, that each day I think we are confronted by our own internal chaos at times. If your life is like mine at times, it can be chaos when we're doing things we've never done before. And that's certainly the case of me this week, and we battle with all sorts of emotions and all sorts of things go through our minds. We do find it hard to just to remember that God is our refuge and strength, and that we can be still in the knowledge that he will work his purpose out no matter how obscure our lives may be. But what is it to be still? Now, of course, there's two ways of looking at this. In the context of this psalm, It's the stillness to know that God will fight. God will resolve the situations that, obviously, that the nations were in at the time of this writing. And it does apply for us today to see God working out, particularly in the Middle East. He is working out his purpose. We don't understand it. We can't seem to see any resolution. But God will do what he promises to do. But what is it to be still? Firstly, I think it's to be still is to just know that God is for us and not against us. I was reading about a CEO of a mission who decided, because his life was so busy, that he decided to take time out to read again and reread again the book on prayer. Because for most of us, we do find it difficult to find time to pray. I think it was a pastor once said, we're too busy not to pray. But that determination or that decision to be still and know God's presence often eludes us. And this particular CEO discovered in this book there is an action of being still. You've got to actively learn to be still. It's a conscious act. You know, God created us human beings, not human doings, somebody once said. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. And the stillness that we discover when we recognize the power of God in our lives is to bring all those three together. To bring our spirit and our soul, all the anxieties, and to bring it very much into line, to be still. You notice sometimes when your shoulders go up, that your neck stiffens, just to let go and let God is so important. It's a battle within us to find time to be still. You see, there are many layers in our lives. Our experiences, our disappointments, our grief, our sadness, our joys, our childhood, whatever that was like, form layers in our minds, in our mental state. And so often just to be still troubles us because we don't want to revisit the trauma, the disappointments, the grief, the sense of lostness at times. We don't want to visit those places that we've hidden away because it's too painful. You see, we all see the world differently from the experiences that we go through. And those layers make up who we are. And yet to be still often means to bring it all out and let God heal us and restore us. You know, we're being sanctified. We are justified. We're being sanctified. He's leading us to be glorified as well. It's a battle within us, and we have to fight to be still. We have to take action to be still. We're complicated people, aren't we? Don't you think? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. If only we knew. I mean, when we have some pain somewhere, we Google it. It's probably the worst thing to do. We want to try and manage things ourselves until we can't. And yet God searches our hearts and he examines our minds. You know, and we can say things to God that we can't say to one another. And that's so important. We can tell God all sorts of things. And that way the layers tend to burn off in our middle of our being. And we become more whole and we become more satisfied with our lives because God is doing a work in our midst. But if we're looking at this psalm in context, we'd also see the psalmist speaking about the stillness of knowing that no matter what's going on around, God is working. I was thinking about in Exodus 14, we read about Moses and that wonderful time when the Hebrews were being led by Moses out of Egypt. And they got to the Red Sea, and they were looking around and they were wondering what Moses was about. In fact, some of them started to wonder, was it not better for us to be back in Egypt? They'd forgotten the struggles they were going through. And this is what Moses said: "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring for you today." Goes on to say, the Lord will fight for you. And we know what happened. As Moses lifted his staff, the waters parted and they went through, and the Bible says, on dry land. And we know what happened to the Egyptians. And then there was Joseph that was thrown in prison unjustly, if you remember the story. And the Bible says in Genesis 39, the Lord was with him. He showed him his kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warders. He was given authority over all the other prisoners. You see, I would imagine that Moses and Joseph were people that had learned to rest in the Lord and to trust him, that we would work it all out for them. I wonder if we're doing the same. If you're a doer, you want to resolve it yourself. You want to try to bring about an answer to the challenges that you're going through. Why not just let God do it? Why not let God know that tomorrow is in, my life is in his hands? You know, when Jesus was speaking about not to worry, or not to be anxious, he says that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're worrying about simply will be added unto you. I don't think in our society today we have to live by faith, because we have all the support systems in place. But I wonder if we had to totally rely on God each day, how much richer our life would be. If we knew that he was handling everything. The Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph knew that. He didn't cry out and say, this is unjust, I shouldn't be here. He didn't do a Donald Trump. He just accepted that the Lord would sort it out. Maybe that's really what the Lord is saying to us. Be still and let me resolve it. Sometimes we get in the way of God. We get in the way of his Spirit. But just let him have his way. Then he says to be still and know that I am God. Now this is interesting, because that word know means a lot more than knowing about God. There are lots of people that know about God. There are lots of people that are intellectually have an understanding of God and who he is. But to know God here means to have a perception or an understanding of God, even a relationship with God. Just think about the relationship that we have with God. Paul says in that lovely letter that I referred to earlier in Colossians, it says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Just meditate on that for a moment. If you know and love the Lord, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we have the power of Christ within us, we can expect God to bring about his purpose. Not always easy, not always straightforward, not always in the way that we expect, but his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. It's about knowing God personally, having that relationship with him. Not because we're good enough, not because we're in church, but because he loves us. And he gave Jesus in our place, so that when God looks upon us, he sees the blood of Christ. We're cleansed from all sin. To know him. To know him. To have that deep relationship with him. Often in the chaos and challenges of life, we do ask the question, why God? Well, where are you? Where were you when I lost my loved one? Where were you when I needed you the most? Often the chaos within us causes us to think that God is like us. But of course he isn't. And he's not offended. And it's good to say why God sometimes. I remember somebody once giving a testimony, and they'd suffered terribly, emotionally, physically. And they'd got to that place and they said, I don't ask God why anymore. I just say, what next? What next, Lord, for you and for me? The word for God here is Elohim, the creator. The God who created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, we read in Genesis chapter 1. The same God is the God who is our refuge and strength. He is the God that we know. It's amazing. You might think you're not good enough, but you've been made good enough through what Jesus has done. We have that relationship with the Creator God. And it's good to know that He creates in us that sense of peace and all-knowing, that He will be exalted in the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted in our lives as we trust in Him. So Psalm 46 is rich, and it's relevant to us today, very much so, that God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help. Let's simply be still and let God have His way. In His name. Amen.